So, Johnny on the spot, right? In season, out of season, you know. So I was, you know, boom, here I am. So we're gonna be looking at, and this is has nothing to do with the injury or anything at all. Strangely enough, I never actually put it together until just now. We're talking about the chastening of the Lord. Yeah, nothing to do with that. So, we're going to be looking at, starting off in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to bounce around a little bit. So why don't you guys turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to take up in starting at verse 5. Hebrews 12:5. So we've got here this awesome passage of describing what God exactly is accomplishing through His chastening. And, you know, the reason that I look to this is because from personal experience, I have felt the Lord's chastening a lot in my life, but a lot lately, it seems. The Lord is working in my life in ways that I couldn't have imagined and stretching me in ways that I hadn't anticipated. But really, as with any of us going through chastening, we have to remain focused. You know, we can't. It's really, really easy to get sidetracked. It's really, really easy for our hearts to lie to us, for our flesh to lie to us and say that God forgot about you, that God is doing this on accident. You know, He doesn't realize what's going on with you. And so, you know, it turns to bitterness. We can just get all out of whack with the Lord chastening us. And the bottom line is the Lord loves us. And we're going to look and see here how the Lord loves us through this chastening and why He does it. And why He does it so often, you know, in our lives. Why you guys can feel so often so tired, so worn out. But remember, you know, that bad things don't always come from the enemy. You're not like, oh, it's Satan getting me down. You know what? It's the Lord sometimes chastening us. It's the Lord sometimes redirecting us. Sometimes it's the Lord giving us a SWAT because we need it. You know, we get off on tangents. We get off on the wrong exit on the freeway. The Lord has to shake us out of it somehow. And if we won't stand to reason, then perhaps we'll stand to some correction. So that's why the Lord does this. But we're gonna look at it right here, starting in Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Lord God, I pray that you would open your word to us. Give us understanding, Lord. Help us to see what exactly you're doing, Lord. Perhaps you won't reveal to us the end, Lord, of what you're putting us through. Perhaps you'll only reveal to us the purpose. And the purpose is because you love us and you want to protect us, even from ourselves, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for this passage. Please give us understanding, Lord, as we look into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm sure in most of your guys' Bibles, or maybe some of your guys' Bibles, the quote here, the second half of verse 5 and the entirety of verse 6 is separate in its own little paragraph. I don't know if it is in your Bibles. It is in mine. It's a quotation. We're looking at a quotation from Proverbs chapter 11. Why don't you guys turn there real quick? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. And you guys all, I'm sure, have heard this verse. And Proverbs chapter 3 is actually really good for a couple really good verses, you know, verses that you guys are probably very well familiar with. But we're going to kind of look at this a little bit backwards. But starting in verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. The word chastening that's used here is a Greek word. It's paideia. And what it means is the training, the education, the cultivation of the soul by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. You know, because honestly, you know, if we're going to look at it as in the education of a child, they don't always have their best interest in mind. They have their selfish interest in mind. They have what they want. They know what they want, and they want it no matter what, you know. even if it's going to come at their own hurt. So us as parents, we have to be there to curb those passions in a sense. We have to be there to educate them that you know, son, daughter, the stove will burn your hand. I mean, that's the classic illustration, but it's true actually. Or, you know, the razor will cut your finger. So I remember my parents telling me that, you know, don't touch dad's razor. And I remember thinking, oh, dad's razor. And then when I was little, I finally got a hold of it. And I remember like rubbing it with my thumb and thinking, man, there's nothing to this thing. And I was going to, you know, against the blades like you're supposed to. But then I started rubbing it sideways, you know. And my mom, it was funny. As soon as she saw my finger, you had that look of like recognition because, you know, I'm the youngest of three and she had already seen that with the older two. You know, they all have done that. They all did that where they sliced their finger in those two little slices right across the finger. I hadn't listened to their correction. I hadn't listened to their instruction. And, it, you know, I bore the brunt of that myself. You know, if I had listened to them, I wouldn't have gone through that. But the Lord chastens us because he loves us. He corrects us and he educates us because he loves us. He doesn't want us to get hurt. He doesn't want us to get into something that's going to be unhealthy or end in our own ruin. We have to remember, and this is the hardest thing to remember, I think, when we think of God the Father, because we've talked about the misconception of God the Father, and everybody thinks that he's angry. He's the angry Father, and Jesus is the loving, you know, like, oh, Dad, don't do that to him. I love him. You know, like, that's not what the Father's like. The Father loves us, and the bottom line is, that the Father's chastening, the Lord's chastening of us, is never punitive. It's never punishment. It's not like you did this, so I'm going to hurt you, and you'll never do it again. Again, we have to remember, the word here for chastening, it's that correction, that cultivating of the soul. I mean, that's exactly what we need as dumb sheep, as we're described in the Bible. You know, we go this way and that. We do stupid things sometimes. All the time. I don't know. I do stupid things all the time, and the Lord is correcting me all the time. But what's interesting to me is our logic so often during chastening follows that of Job's friends. You guys remember the book of Job, right? Basically, Satan wants to get at Job and make him blaspheme God. And God's like, you know what? My servant loves me. You know, I'm going to allow you to put him through trials and you will see his love for me. That he doesn't love me because of his house. He doesn't love me because of his things. Well, so Satan kind of has a heyday in his life. He takes away all of his land. He takes away all of his livestock. His kids die when the house falls on them. And then lastly, he loses his health. You know, he's covered in boils. He just feels completely forsaken by God. So there he is sitting in the ash, scraping his wounds with a pot shard. And his friends show up, three friends. And it's interesting because you look at the book of Job and you look at the book of Ecclesiastes. They're books in the Bible, and they're meant to teach us, and they're meant to strengthen us. But honestly, if you want some bad advice, look at those two books. Really, it's interesting, because most of the book of Job is his three friends telling Job why the Lord is cursing him, that it's because of sin that he hasn't admitted to, and that Job needs to repent. And Job is sitting there like, no, you guys, I am righteous before God. I serve the Lord. I love the Lord. You know, I'm square with him. And they're like, no, Job, no, you have done something. It's obvious. Look at you. Look at your condition. It's obvious that you've made God mad. And in the end, God speaks and he rebukes them and says, you know what, you guys, if you want somebody to pray for you, talk to Job. He will pray for you guys because you need it. You know, because they were way off. So if you're going to take advice from the Bible, don't look to Job's friend's advice, okay? But I think our mentality about chastening follows exactly like they said, where we think that we've somehow lost favor with God. Things are going bad, you know. I mean, you guys know the days that come up where, you know, you hop in the car and you got to go and you're running late for work or whatever, and your gas light, your low gas light is on. You're like, oh, man, that's just great, you know. And then you get going and you park, and then somebody opens their door and dings your car. And you're like, ah, oh, that's just lame. And then, you know, somebody calls and says, hey, you know, the kids are sick. You got to come pick them up from school. Everything is just going wrong. I mean, not those exact situations, but you guys know those days where everything seems to be building and building and building. And it's funny to me in retrospect how quickly I turn on my Savior, how quickly I turn on my God. And I think, God, what is going on? You know, and I'm not having the perfect, you know, response every time. Sometimes, sure, I'm like, all right, Lord, this is a trial, this is a stretching, this is whatever. But it's crazy to me how often my mind just completely shifts. You know, I downshift, I feel my temperature rising, I feel my fist clenching, and I start to feel tense, like, man, this is just a bad day. And I get home and you know, on days like that, I'll talk to Megan and she'll be like, hey, well, let's just pray. You know, let's stop and pray. I'm like, babe, I don't want to pray right now. I don't feel like praying right now. I want to go in the room and get mad. You know, I want to strangle somebody, you know. And it's just weird that I don't see it for what it is. The Lord is stretching us. You know, how far does it take for me to blow my top? How much stretching can I endure before I just blow up? I'd love to say, oh man, I can go for so long. The Lord can keep stretching me. And I'm just like, yeah, bring it, you know. It never goes that way. You know, I always find myself repenting. Lord, forgive me. I'm completely wrong. I've completely looked away from you. And now I need to repent from this, you know. And it's just that weird turmoil that we find ourselves in. But it says here, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, if we continue past this quote into verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So in the backward sense, this is proof that God loves us. You know, it's proof that the Lord chastens us. Because if he didn't care, he just kind of let us go and let us do whatever, right? I mean, I look again to these different examples with my kids, you know, when we're walking through the parking lot at the store, you know, and they don't obey me, you know, when I say come back. You know, they start wandering off. What they don't realize is there are cars that are not looking for little 2 foot tall people running around. You know, people backing into parking spots could easily back over my kids. So obviously it's imperative to me that they obey me when I say, come over here, right? I mean, if they were to just run away, they could come to hurt. But look at it this way. If we had what we wanted, if we had our way every time, it would be much like the Lord saying to us, you know, as we run off, oh, you know, have a good time. You know, go play football on the freeway. Yeah, have a great time. It'll be great. I'm sure it'll turn out fine. A loving father would obviously call out to their son, their daughter. If they don't respond, they'd run out there and grab them, you know, and bring them back. You know, you don't want them to come to hurt. You know, so your love for them basically supersedes their happiness in this sense. You know, much like the kids want candy all day, you're not going to let them have it because you love them. So that's exactly what this verse is saying, that the proof is in the Lord chastening us. If he wasn't worried about us getting run over, we just go nuts. You know, he just let us. But he is. So he'll slow us down. He'll bring us back. He'll give us a stern talking to and a spanking if we need it. You know, if we need that correction, he will do it. Because he's willing to make us cry. He's willing to make us sad. He's willing to break our hearts over our well-being, over the greater good in our lives. It's kind of interesting because I can think of someone that was close in my life that we were talking about discipline and talking about our parents and our experiences with our parents. And it was weird because he despised the authority of his parents. And I'll just lay out basically what happened. His parents, when he did something that he knew was wrong, and I'm talking about when he's probably 8 or 9 years old, he'd do something that he knew was wrong, his mom would threaten him. If you do that again, I'm going to spank you. So he'd do it again. And she said, if you do it again, I am going to spank you. And so he'd do it again, and she'd say, listen, if you do that again, I'm going to spank you, and so on and so on. She never once spanked him, not once in his whole life. And he despised her authority because he knew that she didn't truly have his best interest in mind. If she did, she would have taken action in his life. I mean, again, if we're talking about a parking lot, we can't be arguing over, can I go further? No, you can't. Come further. Can I go out this, you know, no, come back. There can't be an argument. There can't be this dialogue. You have to be willing to obey. And if you don't, you will get hurt. So in that sense, God would be despicable in our eyes. He would be unrighteous and unjust in our eyes if he never chastened us. Because that would be proof that he doesn't care. And there are those that believe that God doesn't care. That he rolled the universe into existence, set it in motion, and steps back. And just kind of lets it go. And to me, that's the perfect example of an uncaring and an unloving father. it's no wonder that they would that they would reject the idea of a God of love if they think that that's what God does. You know, because as parents, we would be unloving to our kids if we just let it go. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And this is exactly where I come in. You know, do I get angry at God? You know, when he is chastening me? Do I turn on him and snarl at him and God, you know, that hurts. That's enough. I'm done, you know? Can we do that? I mean, as children again to parents, I love that. That God built in this example with my kids and my parents with me, you know? That parents to children, it's an incredible dynamic. And it's exactly like our dynamic with our Father. And I'd love to say that I'm so much more sophisticated than them and I'm so much more, you know, unspoiled than them. But I get angry just like they do. You know, they feel unloved or whatever when I spank them. I feel unloved when God spanks me. But God is saying right here, we respect our fathers. You know, in retrospect, I look back at the spankings that I got, the chastening that I got, the correction from my parents. And I'm glad, you know, they saved me from a lot of harm. Not every bit of harm in my life, but a lot of it. You know, they, we can't protect our kids from everything, but we can at least instill certain things in their life with the goal that they will adhere to the basics. They'll adhere to these things that'll keep them away from painful, hurtful things. And that's exactly the mentality of the Father. Verse 10, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. See, we have to realize what's on the line here. You know, that we do have the ability to abandon the Lord, to abandon his love. We have that ability. The Lord has extended grace to us, and we had the ability to choose. In that same sense, as you guys I'm sure have seen, we have the ability to turn our backs on the Lord, on the Lord's love, if we want to. You know, the Lord is not going to strong arm anybody into heaven. He's not going to twist your arm and say, no, you're coming to heaven. He's going to do his best to chasten us, to bring us back, to remind us, this is what I need from you. And we're going to look here at some of the things that are dangerous. But he wants us to be partakers in his holiness. He wants us to be partakers in heaven. So he's willing to hurt our feelings over it, if that's what it takes. If we're so prideful and so arrogant, like I can be, he's willing to break that pride and to bring me back because he loves us. I look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. You guys know this as the list of the works of the flesh. There's a couple different lists in the Bible here and there of these different sins, these different things that will keep us from the kingdom of heaven. And this is just one example of it. But just listen with me as I read this and consider our society and consider the reactions of most people in society to these things. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you now in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's scary anytime we read that, will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no caveat saying, well, if you're only doing it on Tuesdays and Thursdays or whatever, you know, if you're only, you know, if you're not completely committed, just like kind of doing it as a hobby, it's fine. I mean, we look at these things here, you know, adultery and fornication. Again, these are things that are glorified on like on TV. You know, you can watch like sitcoms and stuff where they like make jokes about it and make light of it or even act like it's something to be proud of. You know, I would be terrified knowing that I was in the midst of something like this. And again, we're talking about spiritual fornication as well as the physical, but that would be terrifying news to me to know that I am treading on a path that leads to hell. Because that's what this list is, people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're looking, you know, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. And idolatry, you know, how many people out there do you see love the Lord their God with all their hearts, with all their minds? I mean, the one true God. That's kind of scary, too. You know, what is the God of our heart? If we don't love him fully and completely, then something else is idolatry. There's something else in our lives that's taken the throne. Then we don't truly worship Him as God. We worship something else. That's something to be aware of as well. This word sorcery here is the Greek word pharmakia. We get the word pharmacy. Prescription drugs, drugs, chemicals, enhancing chemicals, mind-altering drugs. I mean, think of that in society. Again, this is something that not only is laughed about and joked about, and it's kind of cool if you're involved in. That's scary. I mean, if you're involved in these things, that's a one-way ticket. And again, as we go through this list, I don't want you guys to think that this is the law outside of grace. Because we are extended God's grace. We are extended His love through Jesus Christ. And if we commit our lives to Him, He will save us from these things. But if we don't commit to Him, if we are involved in this lifestyle, or even if we say that we're committed to Him and we are involved in these things, your actions prove whose child you are. Your actions prove what God you worship. And that's where the lines are drawn here. Contentions, jealousies. I like this one, outbursts of wrath. You know, because as a guy, you know, guys seem to like and respect and revere guys that brawl, guys that fight, you know, physically, like tough guys, you know. And like, you know, a guy that'll just not take it and just like punch someone in the face, you know. Outburst of wrath, yeah, you know. But again, that's something to be wary of. That is not the love of Christ. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruit of the flesh. Selfish ambitions. Boy, our society is kind of driven by that, isn't it? I mean, we talk about, you know, people say, oh, socialism is so much better than capitalism because look where capitalism got us, you know. Whatever. Socialism is not better, you know. Capitalism, I praise God that we are in a capitalistic society. But if it is driven by selfish ambition, we will wind up like we are now. That's exactly why we're here, you know, in our financial state as a country. It's because people do not love the people around them. They want to make merchandise of them. They want to make money off of other people's misfortunes at times. So again, this is a terrible thing, not something to be proud of. And we go down the list here, and these are just, you know, it's just a sprinkling of different things that we can be involved in that we really need to look out for. And that is why the Lord will chasten us. Say we are involved in something and He never spanked us for it. Boy, you know, He's not doing us any favors, is He? He's just kind of greasing the rails in front of us on our way to eternity apart from Him. He needs to chasten us because we don't see all ends. We don't always realize what we're doing. Or sometimes we do. That's the scary one, when we do and we think, God's not doing anything about it. I guess it must be okay. A lot of people justify their sin that way. God hasn't slammed me for it yet. And that's scary. You know, because, again, we talked about God chastens His children. So if you're not being chastened, it's time to stop and think, what am I doing wrong? Whose child am I? You really think that Satan will slam you for any of these things? No, he's going to encourage you. He wants you to be involved in these things. The world wants you to be involved in these things because they do not want what's best for you. But verse 11 in Hebrews 12, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. You know, I think of, in this sense, I'm thinking more of like a training like boot camp, you know. Or even football, Hell Week. Nobody likes that. Nobody is whistling and all happy and singing and stuff during that. You look at like the Navy SEALs training. You don't see like a bunch of smiling guys grinning, you know. Like usually it's looks of pain and like discomfort and weariness, you know. Nobody's happy about it. But you imagine the outcome. You know, if this is what it takes to make this soldier effective in the battlefield, effective in these different situations that normal soldiers are not good at, then more power to the trainers, you know. Yeah, do it twice as hard. Give me a double portion. I want to be good. I want to survive. That's what we need to be looking at. The Lord is looking at our survival, not just our happiness here on earth. Because Jesus didn't promise that we'd be happy here on earth. Quite the opposite. He promised that we'd be hated on earth. Hated by the world. Hated by Satan. Hated by those that love darkness and hate the light. So with that in mind, it makes sense that we're in for it, you know, as we're marching through life. We are truly in for it, but the Lord is not going to just let us go off the deep end. Verse 13. Knowing now that He loves us, verse 13, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. See, because this is kind of the end result in my little carnal outburst and my downward spiral that I get into when the Lord is chasing me. You know, that I get tired. I get weary. By the end of it, I'm not all like happy and doing jumping jacks and all like, yeah, you know, I'm tired. I'm beat down. I'm discouraged. You know, I mean, when it says here, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. I mean, I don't literally walk around like this, but I feel like that. You know, I just feel like heavy. Like, man, I want to go to bed. I want to check out for a little while. I'm tired, you know. And in that's where he's saying, you know, be strengthened, feel encouraged at that time. Don't give that time to the flesh. It's at this point that we're emotionally weak. And again, we can get bummed and we can turn our hearts to bitterness. We can look back and say, man, this sure is hard. It was a lot easier before. It was a lot easier before I committed to the Lord when I was just kind of doing my own thing. I got the result that I was looking for. You know, here I'm trying to make God happy and I'm getting beat up for it. And I know guys that have jumped ship at this point where they feel tired, they're bummed, and they're like, you know what? And I talked to a guy on the phone and he's like, dude, I'm just telling you, man, I'm done. I'm done with this whole Christian thing. I'm tired. You know, I'd like to just ease things up a bit. You know, and I'd love to say that I never feel that way, but I get that thought in my head. You know, I think, man, you know, why am I trying to please God? You know, why am I trying to do His will when I'm just getting flogged for it? You know, and it's at that point that I can make a decision. I can either listen to that voice and say, yeah, you're right. This is lame. You know, I think I'm just going to grab the reins again and do my own thing. I'll be my own God and I'll do my own leading, you know, or right here where the Lord is reminding us, He's saying, don't be bummed. Don't be weak. Don't be broken up. I love you. And that's why He writes this. When we find ourselves in this position, He is saying overwhelmingly, I am doing this because I love you. And you guys have heard the illustration, I'm sure, at different times in church, but I'm going to share it with you because it is a very good illustration about sheep and about shepherds and about how the shepherds in the Bible times, David and whatnot, how they would train their little sheep to not wander off. Because that's really the bottom line is God doesn't want us to wander off. Okay, so here's the situation. He's got, you know, between 10 and 20 sheep, right? And he's got this little lamb, and he's trying to watch everybody and make sure everybody's safe and everybody's going where they need to go. And this little lamb keeps running off. You know, everybody's going left. He goes right, and he goes running. You know, now the shepherd's got to, you know, leave the sheep for a minute and go run and grab those and come back. And all the sheep by now have started wandering off, so he's got to bring them back. And this little sheep is just kind of a hassle in that way. So what they'll do is very, very gently, you know, it's not a brutal thing. It's an effective thing. Very, very gently, they will break the lamb's leg. So now the lamb can't run off. Now it's crippled. So, you know, the shepherd being loving and whatnot, he's not just going to leave it there in the broken state. That's why you guys see the pictures of the shepherds with the sheep over their neck, you know, like kind of draped over. That's because the lamb can't walk right now. It's got a broken leg. So what happens now is that the lamb is stuck with the shepherd. So the shepherd feeds the lamb by hand, gets water for it by hand, sleeps by it, keeps it warm at night, is with it 24/7. It is completely dependent on the shepherd. If the shepherd didn't put it over his shoulders, it would be left and die. You know, some predator would get it. But the shepherd keeps it with him and protects it and feeds it and everything. It is completely his provider. So by the time that that little leg heals, it knows that it's good to be with the shepherd. It knows that the shepherd loves it and will protect it, will feed it, will be there for it. And so through that, it learns, I don't want to wander anymore. I want to be by you. And that's exactly what the Lord wants from us. That's the result that He wants. He doesn't want us to be broken and to be laying there and to be crippled, and for him to, you know, he's not just going to like laugh at us and like, ah, look at you, you know. The Lord wants us to be dependent on him because it's good to be by him. It's good to be in his shadow at all times because he has our best interests at heart. He will guide us. He will direct us if we'll listen. It will be better for us in the end if we will learn from this chastening, if we will learn from this correction. And here at the end of verse 13, make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. That's the bottom line. The Lord wants us to be healed. He wants what's best for us. And something interesting that I noticed in Proverbs chapter 3, like I said, there's a lot of really, really good quotes out of Proverbs chapter 3. And let's turn there real quick because we started there. Let's finish there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 was the quote from the author of Hebrews. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. But we're going to look at this a little bit backwards, okay? Instead of reading forward, we're going to read one verse at a time backwards. And tell me if you guys can see the progression here, okay? So, verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now jump with me to verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Jump to verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your bones and to your flesh and strength to your bones. And now finishing in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So what he's saying here is, you know, honor the Lord. He's saying, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He's saying, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And then he says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled. Then he says, and this is interesting because this is exactly where our flesh comes in. After the chastening, after we're tired, our flesh wants to say, grab the reins back from God. He doesn't know what he's doing. But that's what he's saying here. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And then finally, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and the end result that we want, and he shall direct your paths. Not that he might after all this. It's more like you will be willing to listen to him. You will allow him, in a sense, to guide you after this chastening. That's the end result. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us directable. He wants our hearts to be open to him, to be willing to learn and to hear. You know, because there's those things in our lives that we think we know about. And somebody will try to teach us and we're like, hey, I don't know if you realize, I know about this. I can teach you. I can tell you the history of this. I know all about it. So there's certain parts in our life we won't allow instruction. There's others where it's obvious. Yes, I have no idea. I have no concept. I need you to teach me. Well, the Lord is saying, I want you to apply that rule to your whole life, to even the things you know about. Okay, so you're a financial wizard. How about this? How about you trust me? You know, I want you to try this. I want you to put your money into this, and it's not going to make sense to you. And you're saying, well, no, Lord, I know about this. I know about this. And that's a mistake, straight up, God. You know, or different places in our lives where the Lord's saying, hey, I want you to apply for this job. You're like, God, no, I don't know about that. I can't do that. Well, it's like, I'm telling you, apply for it. You're like, no, Lord. And we're unwilling in certain points to be instructed. When you realize that you've lowered God from your leader down to you leading, expect chastening. Expect it. You know, expect the Lord to come alongside and say, you know what, George, you're not listening. It's time for correction. You know, and he's going to take you behind the woodshed and you're going to feel it and it's going to hurt. But the reason is he wants to direct your paths because he knows what's good for you. We think we do. We think we know what's up. But again, our hearts are deceived, man. We're wicked. We're just people. People make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. If I had a financial advisor that I was guaranteed I knew did not make mistakes, I'd be all open to his advice. And I'm not saying the Lord is going to, you know, magically multiply your bank account if you listen to him. But he is going to do you the greater good. Maybe it's not what you want. In fact, usually it's not. You know, you set your eyes on something and that's what you want. And anything short of it is not what you want. The Lord has a different concept. His concept is, I don't care what you want, I know what you need. You need to get to heaven. And I am willing to bum you out. I am willing to make you feel tired. I am willing to break you down just so that I could have you with me. Because he loves us. He wants us. We have to remember, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share us. He doesn't want us going somewhere else. He wants us with him. And that end result, us with him, that is the final, that's the end of his love. That's the goal when he's doing things. He just wants us with him to know that he's good. So be encouraged, you guys, when you feel that chastening mounting and you feel like your arms are just like hanging at your sides and your knees are weak and you feel like, man, I don't know anything anymore. This is just dumb. The Lord is doing it for a specific purpose, to strengthen you, to lift you up, to heal you, and to bring you with him to where he's going. And that, you guys, is where I want to be. Amen? Let's pray, you guys. Lord God, I thank you for taking an interest in us, in our lives, for caring, Lord, about what happens to us, what we do, where we go. Lord, forgive me for not always seeing this, Lord. I feel like I hardly ever see this. I feel like usually my reaction is poor. I know that I'm not a finished work, Lord. I know you're working in my life and in my heart. Help me to learn, Lord. Help your chastening to be beneficial to me. It would be foolish, Lord, to reject your counsel, to reject your correction. Lord, I pray that you would be the God of our lives. Not just when we're feeling great, not just when the bank account's full, not just when everything's just whistling along. But Lord, be the God of our lives when we're tired, when we're hurt, when we're beat up, when we're broken down, when we're thirsty, when we're hungry, be our God. Jesus, you've saved us from eternal destruction. You've saved us from the sins that would lead us there. Lord God, if we were walking around penniless beggars for the rest of our lives, we would still be ahead. Because you've given us Jesus, and we know that in the end, we're going to be with you through him. Help us, Lord God, to keep that in mind, to keep the main thing the main thing. Lord, help us to be your servants, to be given over to you. And whatever you say, whatever you do, help us to roll with it, Lord. Lord, should you offer us that cup of excitement and joy and happiness, Lord, I love those times. But Lord, should you give us that cup, Lord, that's bitter, Lord, tasting, that cup of chastening, Lord, that cup of correction, help me, Lord God, to accept it readily, knowing that you love me, knowing that you want me, knowing that you care about me. We bless your name, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up, you guys.